Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, if you please, if you haven't muted your phone, can you please mute your phone to make sure that we don't have lots of background noise? John, I'm not sure if you have dialed in already, John Dill?
Yes, hi Rita, I'm just getting in, sorry.
Okay, no problem. So I think it's 12 o'clock, let's start.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, everyone, and Happy New Year, I guess. So the last call we had was in October. We've had a few changes since October. The purpose of today's call is primarily an update on a number of pieces. We have our taxonomy release, annual release coming up. So the team at the IFRS thought it'd be good if we could provide the ICG with an update. On the agenda is an update from ESMA, taxonomy release update, and some updates to the ICG charter. The first update is going to be from ESMA on their feedback statement, which I believe was released in December of 2016 after we met. Do we have anyone on the call from ESMA? Is Michael here?
Yeah. Hi, John.
Hi, Michael. Can you go ahead, please?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. What you said, John, is absolutely correct. So at the end of December, we published our feedback statement on the consultation on the European single electronic format. I also distributed that to the group. Nevertheless, I would like to give a very brief summary of what actually this feedback statement contains. So on the one hand, we summarized the feedback we received in the consultation, and then we also set out the ESMA response to the feedback received, and also include the broad policy lines we intend to take. The main decisions that we're taking are basically as follows. All annual financial reports will be prepared in an XHTML format, where the annual reports contain IFRS consolidated financial statements. These IFRS consolidated financial statements shall be marked up with XBRL tags. The other parts of the annual financial reports shall not be marked up. That also applies to annual financial reports which only contain separate financial statements. And this also applies for financial statements that are prepared under third country GAAP, for instance, US GAAP. They also don't have to be tagged. The XBRL tags have to be embedded in the XHTML format. In the inline XBRL format. The taxonomy to be used is the IFRS taxonomy, and considering that we received also relatively critical feedback on our consultation from many issuers who were very concerned regarding the implementation, we will also take into account that feedback, and there will be an implementation phase of 2 years in which only the primary financial statements will have to be tagged, and only after the 2 years also the notes to the IFRS consolidated financial statement will have to be tagged. So that was the content basically of the feedback statement. And so what are the next steps? It will have to be decided whether entity-specific extensions shall be allowed, so we didn't go into that in the feedback statement. We are currently leaning towards allowing entity-specific extensions, however, most likely in a controlled way. And what we are waiting for now is the outcome of the work of the Entity-Specific Disclosure Task Force, and we will then assess the outcome of this work and consider whether these rules can be used for the European single electronic format to guide preparers how to create entity-specific extensions. Then we will have to develop now filing rules, including tagging rules, and one of the major decisions that will have to be made is also regarding the granularity of tagging in the nodes. It's well possible that, at least for now, the tagging of the nodes would be limited to block tagging, but there is no decision yet on that. We will also assess whether there is a need for regulatory extension taxonomy, and eventually, before submitting the regulatory technical standard to the European Commission for endorsement, we will also carry out a field test. We expect to publish the regulatory technical standard by the end of the year 2017 or in the first quarter of 2018. One issue we are currently considering is whether there is a requirement that the structured data, so the XBRL tags, also have to be covered by the statutory audit. There is not yet a definitive answer to that, but there seem to be good legal reasons to consider that there is already in the current legal framework implicitly a statutory requirement by the auditor to also provide assurance on the XBRL figures. However, that is currently assessed by the European Commission's legal service. So that was a very brief overview on the feedback statement and on the progress so far and the next steps. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Do we have any questions for Michael? No, I thought it was a pretty thorough summary, Michael. Thank you for providing that. Our next agenda topic is the taxonomy releases. And I'm not certain if Bartek has made the call. Bartek, have you been able to make it?
Yeah. Well, if you can hear me, then yeah.
Yes, I can hear you. do you want to go ahead and take over?
I'll try. I cannot Vlade, could you just do the slides?
Yes.
Okay. So if you could move on to the first slide. Okay, thank you. The IFRS taxonomy 2017, we have a plan to release it in March 2017, so there is nothing new there. As you know, the last five taxonomies went out in March, so we're planning that one in March as well. We would like it to be in the first half of March. However, the work on the insurance standard and the moving deadlines there might be a little of a trouble for us. So we'll do our best to have it out in the first half of March, but no promises made. In terms of the content, of course, you are aware of the taxonomy updates that we have published, so the disclosure initiative and the changes to IFRS for insurance contracts. We also published the proposed taxonomy update for common practice, and the date, the comment period ends, I think, today. So we'll also look at the comments that we received and update the taxonomy accordingly. There will be no separate taxonomy update number 3. We will just put all the elements into the annual taxonomy 2017. And these are the main content changes. If you could move to the next slide, Vladek. We've also made some what we call editorial adjustments to the taxonomy. And there are two groups of that. First of all, we've updated the effective and expiry dates. That relates mostly to the IFRS for SMEs. In 2015, in December, I think 1st of December 2015, the amended IFRS for SMEs was published, and it was effective, or it is effective, 1st of January 2017. So what we are doing, we're removing the effective 1st of January 2017 and the expired date 1st of January 2017 notes from the references to the new and expiring IFRS for SMEs element. As a result, also 11 elements will be deprecated. They are not required anymore by the amended IFRS for SMEs. In addition, and that's why you see mostly in the first bullet, the changes to IS7 that were published earlier this year in April, they also become effective 1st of January 2017. So we've taken the effective date note away from the references. These were only additions to the taxonomy. These were new elements, so there are no expiries or no deprecations because of that. And also, because of the IFRS for SMEs, the new standard changed the definition of some elements. And after discussion with you, we've decided before that the definitions of those elements will have well, there will be two definitions, one with the expiry date and one with the effective date. So again, the expiring definitions are deleted from the taxonomy. The second part of those less content-related corrections or additions are we've received feedback and we looked at the taxonomy and we've realized that there are elements that have references only to Part B. Part B meaning illustrative examples or implementation guidance. And actually, this is kind of strange because all those illustrative examples and implementation guidance, they actually illustrate the main standard. So we thought it would be nice if we actually had a reference to the main standard as well. That kind of was the ground for actually creating the illustrative example or the implementation guidance. We've identified 257 references, so the number of elements was lower, but the number of references was 257. And of those elements that had only Part B reference, we haven't touched those Part B references, they are all good. What we have done is we have added a Part A reference, so in case the illustrative example said, you know, to illustrate paragraph 37, we've also added the reference to paragraph 37. We don't think it's controversial in any way. We didn't have much trouble doing that. That's usually very clear from the example of the implementation guidance. To make sure we didn't make any mistakes, we gave it to the technical staff of the EISB to review to make sure that the references to Part A are correct, and they had no trouble with those references, so we'll be adding them on to the taxonomy, the IFRS taxonomy 2017. And next slide, Vodek. Or maybe I'll actually stop here. I think next slide is insurance already. So yeah, before we go to the next slide, do you have any questions about the IFRS taxonomy 2017? And I hear nothing, so I'll assume you're okay with the plan. In terms of other releases, we have obviously IFRS 17 insurance contract. We've sent the external review draft mapping to you on the 1st of February and asked for comments until the end of this week. As you know, in accordance with the new due process, your review is aligned with the review of other external reviewers. And in order to be able to actually influence the standard if necessary or change the mapping significantly if necessary, we ask you to do it until before the ballot draft is out. And the ESB is planning to ballot the standard in March. So quite soon, and they plan the publication tentatively for May. I think officially we're saying second quarter. We can share with you that it's planned for May. However, you know, please treat this information as confidential rather than public. We are still working on it. The standard is still being adjusted. Those changes are not very significant, but because this is the balloting process, there are still some changes. We are changing the modeling whenever necessary for that. If there is anything significant, we might need to consult you again. It won't be a general review of the standard anymore because the basics, the groups, the tables roughly should stay the same. But you know, sometimes two words in the standard are a big change for the taxonomy mapping. So in case that should happen, we kind of wanted to inform you that we might have some targeted questions for you in March or April before the standard is finalized. I also wanted to take this opportunity to thank those members who already commented. We got some very useful comments. And if you still want to comment, please do so. We know it's a tough subject, tough topic for most of you, but I do hope that the taxonomy is you know, quite clear in terms of how we mapped it. So we would welcome any comments until the end of the week. And any questions regarding the insurance standards at the moment?
I think that's no, Michael. I'm going to bother. No. Okay. Thanks, Bartek. Can we move on? Thanks again. So let's move on to the next agenda topic. Again, another update from Rita. Are you ready to go, Rita?
I am. Thank you, John. If you go to the next slide, Bartek. Look, the aim of this session is really to give you an update to some changes we have made to the charter of the ABRES Taxonomy Consultative Group. These changes were approved by the due process oversight committee at their latest meeting, and so this is just to update you on it. The changes relate mainly to the length of terms of members, mainly clarifications, and also relate to the appointment of chair and vice chair. If we go to the next slide, where I can talk to you about the length of terms of members. Really, the existing charter says that members are generally appointed for a period of 3 years, which is renewable for a further period of 3 years. Now, when we looked at that, we were really not clear whether that really allows some members to serve 3 2-year terms, and we know that some of you are on 2-year terms, so our intention was that you would be able to serve 3 2-year terms. And it was also not clear from the existing charter whether an organization can be appointed for a period longer than 6 years. And again, it was the intention when we appointed you that indeed some representative organizations could be appointed for a period longer than 6 years. So in fact, we just have amended the wording of the charter to make this clear. So we're really saying now that members can be appointed for a 1, 2, or 3 year term. So you could have a term of 2 years and 3 years, and then maybe 1 year. They can be renewed, but usually a member of the ITCG would not serve more than 6 years to make sure that there is a healthy turnaround of views and opinions. We're also going to state if you have been appointed in a representative capacity from an organization, the organization can be reappointed when represented by a new individual. We also have put in a clause to say that terms may be staggered, because we really need to think about the continuity of the ITCG. And most of you who were here at the beginning of inception of the ITCG are still here, which is, we really are very grateful for you, but we still have to make sure that at the end of 6 years, we suddenly don't have all members resigning. So we need to really give that some careful consideration as well. And we also have put in a clause that any member who has served on the ITCG can serve again. Maybe really think that a healthy break of around 3 years would be useful in that case. I think, does any of you have any questions on that? No? Then we move to the next slide. And the next slide really is talking about the appointment of chair and vice chair. Really, at the moment, we are going to say that it would be possible in the future to appoint a member of the board as chair or vice chair of the ABRES Taxonomy Consultative Group. When the original charter was drafted, the board was not yet involved within the ABRES taxonomy content. So at that time, it did not make sense to nominate or include the possibility of a board member being a chair or vice chair from the ITCG. But as you know, in June, we published the revised due process where board members have now greater involvement in the approval and the review of the ABRES taxonomy content. Therefore, we think it's reasonable to say to allow an option for a board member to chair or vice chair the ABRES taxonomy consultative group. So you will find at the latter part of the slide, you will find the text we have put in the charter for that. Also, I have to say that this at the moment is just allow this option. We currently have John Dill and Thomas Egan. They are currently, we will reappoint them as chair and vice chair of the ITCG, but in the future we'll take up. We will look and see if this we should it would be feasible or best to appoint a board member. Yeah. Any questions on that? No. Then I think the last thing that remains to be said is that Fran will soon be sending out letters to those of you for which your term will be expiring on the 1st of April 2017, and to. Allow you to reappoint you as member of the ITCG. Some of them will be on a 2-year reappointment, some of them will be on a 3-year reappointment. I really want to thank you for all the input and effort you have given us so far, and I really hope that you would accept our offer to remain a member of the ITCG. Thank you very much. John, I think that are all the updates for today. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Rita. Thanks, everyone. So, Rita, how's the planning going for the June face-to-face? Is it firm, or where do we sit for the upcoming meetings? I know we've got calls tentatively scheduled, but I'm more concerned with the face-to-face where people may need to make changes or plans, sorry.
I wouldn't say it's 100% firm yet, but we had our first discussion yesterday with the team, and we think it's going to be very highly likely that we are going to have a meeting in June. The only problem we have at the moment is that our original scheduled date of the 6th of June is now clashing with the XBRL Europe Eurofiling dates in Europe. We know that many of you, and even ourselves, we attend that conference, so Fran is now trying to look for an alternative date and will be soon contacting you on that. But I think it's really want to have first a conversation with yourself, John, and also Thomas, to run through what we think we should be discussing at our June meeting, provided you agree with what our suggestions, then we can give towards the end of February a firm answer that yes, it will go ahead, and hopefully between now and the end of February, Fran will also be able to find a date at which it will go ahead, really.
Okay, thanks, Rita. With that being all of the updates, I think I'll just quickly open it up to see if there's any other business, anything else anyone else would like to raise, or any questions for the staff. No. Okay. Thanks everyone for the call. I believe that's it from our end as well, right, Rita? Nothing else from your side, right?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks everyone. Our next call is tentatively scheduled in March, and we'll confirm that.
Yeah, we will do that. Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you again.
John.
Thanks everyone. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.